Hello, and welcome to the second TeachNet podcast. In our first show, you will have been listening to the founders of TeachNet in Ireland, and they were explaining what the TeachNet project is all about. On today's show, we are going to look at TeachNet projects specifically, and we're going to have a chat with Michael Hallisey and Pat Brennan, and we'll also be joined on the phone by Hugh Roberts. So, Michael, I'm going to start the show by asking you to tell me a little bit about the whole process of developing TeachNet projects.
Yes, Cliff. I suppose TeachNet is very different from other projects in that it's by teachers for teachers. And we realize that teachers are not professional publishers, but teachers are at the coalface, and they realize that there are particular resources that don't exist for their particular class if they're teaching at primary, or for their particular subject at post-primary. So we are very interested in teachers who have identified that need and have some skills themselves already in terms of web creation and the web, that they can publish these for other teachers to use.
I see. And Pat, would you be able to tell me a little bit about the sorts of projects that are available on TeachNet?
I suppose, Cliff, the projects that are out there are very varied. I mean, from junior level at primary right up to senior cycle at second level. Most of them are what we would be trying to encourage, I suppose, are interactive resources for the web. We're looking for resources that, I suppose, in the current climate, we can, that teachers with interactive whiteboards and broadband in their classroom, that they can actually use these resources in an interactive way, rather than just downloading and printing out. And they're the kind of resources that are up there at the moment.
I see. And how many resources would there be available for teachers coming into the TeachNet site?
Well, approximately, I think we have over 1,500 resources currently. It's broken down into three sections: primary, junior level at secondary, and senior level.
Okay, and how many teachers have participated in providing these resources?
About 220 to date.
Michael, can you tell me, what is the process for a teacher who wants to become involved in developing TeachNet resources?
I mean, the process is very simple. They go onto the website, and there's an application form they fill out. We rarely refuse a good idea. Yeah. The person sends in their idea, and then Pat and the team will look at it, and we will come back with feedback. The kinds of people that we need on TeachNet are teachers who are open to taking feedback.
Right.
Because, you know, not that we know best, but we certainly have an idea of what works, and we are looking for teachers who believe in quality.
Yes.
And who are critical of their own materials. And, you know, we do have a mentoring system, which I know you're going to talk about.
Yes.
Later. So that's what we're looking for.
Okay. At this point, I think I'll bring in Hugh Roberts to the show. Hugh, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you.
And if you could just tell me, please, a little bit about yourself, first of all.
Yeah, no problem. My background is I'm a teacher of geography and IT.
Yes.
So I've worked in the UK, in Sweden, and in Ireland as well. So I've done a master's in educational technologies, and then I also work a lot with teachers in the local education centre here in Tralee, in helping them develop IT resources through some of the MCT programmes.
And how did you get involved in TeachNet?
I was working with another colleague in UL, and he's a teacher of graphic design in Limerick, and he was saying that he'd produced the resource for his classes via TeachNet project, and so he got me interested in it that way, and that was about 3 or 4 years ago now, so that was when I first got involved.
And can you tell me a little bit about the projects you've done?
The first one I did was based on the Ordnance Survey Ireland mapping software. There was a new software package that had come out from the OSI, and it's quite difficult package to use. So I'd kind of made a very basic introduction to the package via sort of screen videos. So a teacher who was using this resource for the first time would be able to view a video of how to do the basic steps with the program. Because, again, it is identified as a resource that's was given training throughout the whole country for all geography teachers. So it was an additional means for them to learn about the resource after they'd been trained, if you like.
Right. And that project is currently available on the TeachNet website.
It is, yeah. It's also, I mean, like I say, it was kind of directed at teachers, but it's also directed at students as well, because like the students obviously would be using it in class, but like they needed to train the teachers first to use it, and then the students would then be, you know, using it afterwards. So it was aimed at kind of both levels, if you like. So that was the idea behind that, yeah.
And the project you're working on at the moment, what's that about?
This is on Irish coastal landscapes and processes. I'm quite a keen photographer, and I'm spent a lot of time around the coast. So I've sort of built up a bank of images, I suppose, over the years, and I've put all these together in a kind of an interactive website where they can, you know, people can view different coastal landscapes around the country. So I've sort of split it into three areas, which is coastal erosion, deposition, and then coastal management. So and it's directly based to the curriculum, like Pat was saying. You know, it's useful if you have something that you can relate directly to the actual curriculum you're teaching. So and that's the idea behind that, is that it really, you know, to give them something very useful that is directly related to what they have to study.
That sounds really excellent. The absolutely critical component there is the curriculum and how important it is to provide resources that teachers can use and students themselves can use.
That's right, yeah.
And tell me this a little bit about the process of for yourself personally about developing these projects. What did it involve on your part?
I mean, I've been doing a lot of work with digital media and web design and so on. So the process for me was to, I suppose, look at an idea and look at a way of how you can present it in a way which is easy and accessible for others to look at. So the program I used to actually create this particular resource was Flash, and they used Dreamweaver. So they're two programs I use quite a lot. But you can make you know, quite effective and good resources, like just with basic tools like PowerPoint as well, you know, and things like this. So there's a lot of scope out there for teachers, even if you've only got fairly basic skills with IT. That, and you know, you can still produce quite good things. And I'd certainly recommend that they sort of go on to some of the NCT courses that are being provided on how to develop these kind of material as well. So.
Yes. So a certain skill set is required on the teacher's part to develop the resources.
You need basic kind of graphic, sort of some graphic design skills and some, I suppose, web publishing skills as well.
Yes.
So that's what my recommendation is. Yeah.
Very good. And Hugh, could you tell me a little bit too, do you use the TeachNet site for resources personally in your own work? Like, do you find any resources on the TeachNet site you like? Are there any resources you'd like to see that aren't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's a fantastic bank of resources up there, I've done work with Skolnet. I work as the subject matter expert for geography with the Skolnet project, and a lot of the resources that I've put up on the TeachNet, you know, I reference them as well for the Skolnet project, because like some of them, like I say, because they are directly related to Irish curriculum. So you know, a lot of the geography stuff that's up there, I've referenced those, and so yeah, they're very useful and practical tools that you can use in the class as well. So a lot of them. So like I say, my main subject is geography, so I haven't really looked so much into the other parts of the site, but like, you know, there's some very good stuff up there, you know.
Very good. Thank you very much, Hugh. Your contribution has been really inspiring. Michael, have you anything you'd like to say to Hugh?
Hugh, hi. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Now I've looked at your sites, and I think your most recent site is fantastic. I mean, I think the photographs that you've taken are just a fantastic resource. And I just wanted to echo the point that you made. I think that sometimes teachers think they have to be, extremely skilled in using web authoring packages, et cetera, to develop a resource. I think it's much more the idea that they have and the resources that they have. I mean, Hugh's resource, his most recent resource, are photographs. They're fantastic photographs, but, it's more to do with photography than it has to do with technology, really. And he's put those photographs, he's packaged them in a way that is relevant to the curriculum. And I think that's what it's about. I mean, if I could use an analogy, one of my other favorite projects of all time is one of the first projects we ever did, which was in history at second level, Mary O'Doohan's project on the start of the First World War. And all she did was she had referenced a number of websites that exist with primary source material, and she developed a series of worksheets that got students to actually go to those documents and to do some serious thinking when they got there. And, at one level, it's a very low-tech project, but at another level, it's ideal and it's the way we should be using the web. And if I was going to make a message to other teachers who are out there, if you find websites that you find are really good, that there's great content when you get there, but they need a skin for you to get there and link it back to the curriculum. Mm-hmm. That's what really we're looking for, I think, because not everybody's going to be as skilled as Hugh in terms of being able to take the photographs. I mean, he was out on the water, obviously, to take some of them. They're so close up and everything. They're fantastic. But not everybody's going to have that skill set. And I think that's what we're looking for.
I'd like to ask Pat now, if a teacher is involved in producing a resource for TeachNet, what sort of supports are available to the teacher over the course of the work?
Well, mainly, Cliff, the supports we're offering, the idea, I suppose, that teachers work together. There's a lot of self-learning, but in a supported environment. I suppose three key ways of support is via email to the TeachNet team, through phone support with myself, or through what we've developed this year, our support blog. And on the blog, I suppose we use it as a way of posting, I suppose, a kind of FAQ of the questions that teachers would ask, uploading to the TeachNet server. If I want to use new technologies, or I suppose web technologies, how do I do that through TeachNet and that? And we're putting these articles up there on a regular basis and asking, I suppose, teachers to check there first, and then, if they can't find the answer to the question, the specific question they're looking for, then to come and to use either phone or email to contact us.
And the work that the teacher produces, is there any kind of quality control check on it, or is there anybody looking at it to see that it meets any specific criteria or not?
Oh, very much so. I mean, I think that's an essential part of the process. From a technical perspective, quite a few members of the TeachNet team would look at a project from a technical perspective, making sure that, I suppose, from a usability point of view, that the project works, but also from a curricular perspective. And what we have is a team of curriculum experts. And at this point, this is where we're heading with 3 weeks to go to publication. We assign a mentor to each project. And these people are curricular mentors, so they give curricular feedback. And we ask then the participants to take this on board and implement the changes around it.
Okay. And the resources themselves, would the teacher who's developing the resources have to do any trialing of them themselves with a class, do you think? Is that
That's another very important, tenet of the TeachNet project philosophy. Classroom testing is crucial, and every TeachNet project must have a teacher section or a teacher's guideline section, which includes a summary of how the project was classroom tested.
I think we'd like to see more of that this year. I think we're making a big push on the classroom testing this year. We've just been going through some of the projects, the early ones that have come in, and we are very keen to go back to people and say, look, if there is some work that the students have done, if that's appropriate or if it's relevant, to put it up there. That was done a lot more in the past, and I'd like to see more of that in the future. But, if it doesn't lend itself to that kind of project, that the author, the teacher, would write a descriptor about how they used it and what were some of the things that they found. I think that's, the teachers would like that.
Very good. Well, I hope you have found today's discussion inspirational and that you will have a look at some of the work that teachers have done and that's available for you to see on TeachNet. Pat, could you just tell me quickly, if a teacher who's listening to the show, how do they access those projects if they want to see them? Where do they go?
If they just visit our website at www.teachnet.ie.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Hugh, for joining us on the show today. And with that, we'll say goodbye until our next podcast.